Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? One at a time, preferably. Just one at a time.
Wow.
Not mixed.
Not mixed. Just one discipline. Independent martial arts. That's what we're looking at here. It seems like we're looking at the future of combat sports in a number of ways, with another massive event taking place tomorrow in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And the result will likely shape the future of the heavyweight division boxing in boxing as we know it. And while one of the two headliners has held world championship gold inside the squared circle, another man has held the world heavyweight title in another sport and has the chance to shock the boxing world once again. And that's what we're here to talk about. We welcome you to the live Joshua versus Ngannou preview show here on MMAfighting.com. It's a very busy week, even busier weekend upon us. We have PFL Europe later on today. We have UFC 299 on Saturday. But tomorrow, all eyes will be on Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Thank you for joining us. I am Mike Hack. And joining me to discuss this fight and more, Mr. No Gray Area himself. He's going to be doing a lot of talk in the next couple of days as well. Jed K. Michou, how we doing, buddy?
I mean, you said it, Mike. If you don't like listening to me talk, log off for a couple days, pal. I'm going to be here a lot for the next hot minute. So let's have some fun.
Yes, let us have some fun. Shout out to EKC on the ones and twos as well. You heard his intro. But this is just such a crazy weekend with so much going on. It's almost like things are buried and then they rise up slightly and then other news comes and it buries it a little bit more. But as far as this fight goes, a lot to unpack, because it's kind of strange doing this again, Jed, because we just did this in October with Francis Ngannou, gets the Tyson Fury fight. Remember the man that just kept fumbling the bag after leaving the UFC and after the scumbag media ruined his career for taking such a big swing, and he gets the massive fight with Fury. And we obviously celebrated that. And we mostly felt like, look, we know what's going to happen here. He's going to get boxed up by Tyson Fury, but he's going to make a huge bag of money. And tip of the cap, good for him, right? Wrong. Ngannou gives Fury the business in a lot of ways. Do I think he won the fight? No. Did he win backyard rules? Probably. But he won a lot more than he lost in that split decision. Everybody counted him out. He performs admirably, Jed, against Tyson Fury. Now he faces Anthony Joshua, a guy that has also been, I mean, maybe not counted out, but clearly discounted after he had the two losses to Alexander Usyk. He looked not Joshua-like in victories over Jermaine Franklin and Robert Hellenius, but his stoppage win over Otto Wallin, everyone seemed to believe, you know what? He's back. So with all that said, painting this picture, can you even compare the feeling, the build to this Ngannou fight with Joshua to the Tyson Fury one? Different, the same? Like, how can you compare the two? Do you remember?
It's a good question. I'm more interested in this one, I think, certainly, right? Like, the first one, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, Mike. We were all, hey, this is great. Like, you know, we were being a little shitty about it. Like, let's be real. The MMA media space in particular would be like, oh, I thought he fumbled the bag. Eat it, haters. which is fair. Like, you know, I feel like we earned that right to dunk on people alongside Francis. But we all went into it with pretty much the same estimation. Yeah, this is a great moment for Francis. I'm glad he's getting his paycheck. If he can come and just, you know, not get blown over, that'll be a win. And maybe he can parlay that into one other opportunity. Obviously, that's not what happened, Mike. He came out there. He exceeded all expectations by anyone. Did Tyson Fury clearly not take him seriously? Yeah, like pretty obvious he didn't. Also, was he maybe like a more difficult opponent for the brand of boxing Tyson Fury has than we kind of gave credit to? Also true. In the end, like, I think the outcome's correct, right? Like, forget who said it, and it's sort of a trite thing, but Fury won the fight, Francis won the night. And from that, he gets to come into this. And while I still have a lot of that same reaction to this, and we'll get into it, obviously, I think Anthony Joshua's going to have a pretty good day on Friday. But I'm still – this is great for Francis. And I am legitimately more interested now because we have at least seen not just that Francis Ngannou can – be a little more competitive than maybe we expected, but that he is truly touched by God. Like, he walks in the light. We are all side characters on his main storyline because he has the ability to turn things that by any definition or reasonable assessment would be bad or not good for him in various aspects. Be like, oh, actually I'm just going to continue to succeed despite all evidence to the contrary. So with that, with the fact that Joshua has looked more vulnerable than frankly Fury had ever looked in his last few fights. And like the little lizard brain idiot part of us, it's like, big man hit hard. Maybe he hit hard and Joshua fall over. Like, this is a more compelling matchup in a lot of ways than the Fury fight was. So definitely more interested.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I saw those guys, and I know Anthony Joshua is not a small person, but when him and Francis went face to face, I was like, Jesus, I didn't realize like how big Anthony Joshua is. Like, I know Tyson Fury is like tall in stature and doesn't look like the most athletic guy on the planet, but Anthony Joshua looks like a friggin' ginormous man face to face with Francis. So they look almost similar in height. So I guess, like, what's the biggest question you have about this fight? Because most people, from what I've seen, who support Ngannou or feel like he's going to win the fight or at least has a better chance, is just like, well, Anthony Joshua is way more hittable and he doesn't have the chin that Tyson Fury has and all that. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like Anthony Joshua is, because he's such a powerful guy, because he does leave openings, do you feel like we're going to see sort of the Anthony Joshua that fought Alexander Usyk and leaves those openings? Or do you think we're going to see almost like the Rocky Balboa Apollo Creed rematch, not Apollo Creed, Clubber Lang rematch from Rocky 3, where Joshua just moves volume, jab, 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 just trying to outwork Francis early, maybe tire him out and just kind of point him until the opening serves itself for him to really pull away with this thing?
Yeah, so my biggest question for this fight is strictly how touched by God is Francis Ngannou? Because if the answer is a lot, then he will come out here and win. I don't think that's the case because I think you've laid out how I envision this fight going, right? Like, it's Francis had the element of surprise. Like, Eddie Hearn said a bunch of stuff when he came on the MMA Hour, and honestly, like, it felt like a really clear-headed assessment of the situation. Yeah, Fury definitely underestimated him, and Francis had the element of surprise. That element is no longer there, and you can make an argument, and Francis himself has made this argument, that I am just learning how to box, so you're never going to know how good I am because I'm getting better every day. And maybe to some extent that's true. I'm also a little reticent to be like, oh, he's going to have developed a ton of lifelong boxing ability in the past 5 months or whatever it's been since the last time. And so, like, based on that, it's, hey, all right, we are professional boxers. We are world champion, world-class boxers and a team. We can look at this and now make our threat assessment and approach this fight appropriately, because by any reasonable outcome here, Anthony Joshua should have a fairly easy night on Friday. And I think that that's going to happen because he is going to come in and say, all right, So where did Fury struggle with Ngannou? The way Fury wants to box, the way he wants to get inside, he wants to lean on you, he wants to make his physicality imposed upon his opposition. It was really tough against Francis Ngannou, who's a big boy. Like, all right, we need to not do that. Francis can compete in those realms, and maybe we could have success with that. Or we can just stick on the outside and jab him 1,000 times. And what does he have to counter that? He has got counter punches, but even against Fury, you saw, like, his volume was dramatically low. Like, it was, he was throwing a couple of punches around, certainly in the middle section of that. That's why Fury ultimately won the fight. The momentum was all with Francis, but Francis just kind of had to pace himself, because boxing 10 rounds is way different than fighting MMA. And Joshua has been doing this for his whole life, so I expect him to completely minimize risk. It won't be fun, but he is simply just not going to engage with Ngannou in the terms. And Ngannou doesn't have the footwork to really corner Joshua. Like, maybe he does, but we've never seen it. And so instead, I think we're going to get a ton of jabs, a ton of body work. Just Anthony Joshua is just going to stay with a good pace and dare Francis to keep up with him. And I'm pretty doubtful that Francis can.
So let me ask you this. What would be a more surprising play out and result of this fight? Anthony Joshua just ethering Francis Ngannou and knocking him dead inside of 5 rounds, or Francis winning a clear-cut unanimous decision, no doubter, almost Garbrandt Cruz-esque, where he just styles on Anthony Joshua through 10 rounds?
I mean, that the second, the latter is clearly the more surprising one. Anthony Joshua can box. Like, you have a lot of critiques about Anthony Joshua's boxing game. He's a very solid heavyweight boxer. Like, his flaws have entirely been, I'm not even sure how chinny he is. I mean, he doesn't have the world's greatest chin, obviously, but when he got knocked out by Andy Ruiz, that just sort of adjusted his whole mentality in the same way that George St. Pierre's game changed. Like, George St. Pierre did not have one of the best chins of all time. His chin was fine. Ask Carlos Condit, who put a flush head kick upside him and George worked through it. But because one time he got jawed, the rest of his career was defined by sheer terror that that could ever happen again. And that's a lot of what we saw with Anthony Joshua moving, like, after that. So, oh, I got caught one time. Now I need to never do that, to a point where sometimes he fights scared. And I mean, that's what Jermaine Franklin looked like. That's what a lot of the Hellenius fight looked like. He just is there. And so the issue has not been that he has been, like, roundly outboxed. I mean, Usyk did, but Usyk's also unbelievable. So, and Ngannou's not going to come out here and take him to school in that. And Ngannou can come out here and put one on him, and maybe that, maybe he catches him. But, like, it's, the dynamic is the same. It is a puncher's chance, and maybe has a better chance than other punchers would have. But it, the way Ngannou wins is by knockout. I would be stunned if Joshua just runs him over and knocks him out inside of 4 or 5 rounds, because Francis Ngannou is, I do not think he gets enough credit for how insanely durable he is. Go back and watch the first Stipe fight, guys. Francis had gas for 4 minutes. For 21 minutes after that, Stipe Miocic is teeing off free fire on him and doesn't even mark his face. Like, it is shocking how Stipe couldn't hurt him even, despite the fact that Francis was totally gassed. I'd be pretty surprised if Joshua just ran over him like that. I will not believe any world where Francis is, like, just a superior boxer to Anthony Joshua.
There's a lot of elements to this fight, and there are still a lot of similarities to the Fury fight, because as you said, when we were kind of going through, like, the story to build up to this, that all Francis had to do was just, like, in our minds, just get to, like, round 6 against Tyson Fury. We're like, yeah, that's a win. He deserves the bag. Like, that's a moral victory if there ever was one. The fight obviously played out differently. Is the same in play for this fight as well? Because we've seen it already. And yes, even if Ngannou gives Joshua a really hard fight but loses, eventually you're going to have to win something before, you know, your career could continue to emerge in this newer sport where you could make a whole hell of a lot of money. And obviously he's got a great relationship with the people in Saudi Arabia because they keep giving him these big money fights. But if he is at least just competitive in this fight, is there a moral victory to be had here? Or eventually do we have to just, like, pick up a victory before, like, an actual win, a green lettered result on the wiki page before we could start celebrating things. You know what I mean? Like, if it's the same kind of result here, maybe if he drops Joshua, that's different. But if he goes in there, doesn't drop Joshua, wins like three rounds, is that enough here for Francis?
Hell yeah, dude. Are you kidding? That would be an unbelievable performance from Francis Ngannou. Like, because, I mean, what if he does exactly that? Like, he wins three rounds of the – this is 10, right? He wins three rounds of the 10 and he gets a knockdown in there. That would be a cataclysmic success. Like, yes, thing – maybe the goalposts move a little because of the Fury fight, but at the same time, if we'd asked ourselves this at the beginning of last year, hey, Francis Ngannou is going to fight Anthony Joshua, he's going to win some rounds and score a knockdown, everyone would have been like, yeah, that's an unmitigated success. The terms of engagement are the same here, like, for that. It is still – this is not Francis's sport. He is not a professional boxer, despite being a top 10 in the WBC's rankings and all that. Like, he should not be having that success. So if he comes out here and has that, that's great. It's 1,000% a moral victory. At some point, if he's going to continue boxing, you can no longer just live on moral victories. But I think he's at least got one more just because of the Fury fight, if nothing else. And if he comes out here and is at least competitive, then he's still going to get more opportunities, because why wouldn't Deontay Wilder want to fight him? Like, I think everyone would sign up to watch that, particularly if he's competitive with Joshua, because Josh, like, the story has always been Joshua is the better boxer between him and Wilder, but Wilder hits way harder. So yeah, Francis lost to the boxer, but let's just have him go chuck things against Wilder and see which of the big men fall first. Like, if he was going to be a professional boxer for the next 10 years, at some point he needs to win, but doing what he's doing, a moral victory is it's a huge win for him regardless at this point.
Yes, that is fair. Something is printing in here. That's a beautiful thing. If Francis wins this fight, it's just ridiculous. He's never fighting in MMA again. I think we could probably take that to the bank, unless something gigantic comes along, maybe a John Jones fight, maybe, you know, Turkish gets it done and somehow gets the powers to agree on something. I still don't think that ever happens, but him fighting Henan Fajeda is probably not going to happen. In fact, he's probably going to go fight the Tyson Fury Usyk winner for the undisputed heavyweight title in his third pro boxing fight, which is just absolutely ridiculous to think about. We talked about moral victories and how they can be important and still set him up for big fights. But what if this fight goes the way you and a lot of other people think it will, that this just kind of catches up to him, being touched by God only lasts for so long, and Joshua just kind of pieces him up. This is not all that competitive. Is there still, obviously there's still spaces with where boxing is now with these influencer boxing matches and things of that nature. There's another big fight that was announced today that we'll talk about on BTL later on this afternoon. But if Francis goes out there and just gets dominated, this fight is not competitive at all. What does that mean for his combat sports career? Media back to PFL. Is there still boxing for him if he loses 9-1 or 10-0 tomorrow? Where does he go if he just gets outclassed tomorrow?
I think it will be different based on how the nine, like, if he gets 10-0'd, how does that look? Is it a 10-0 where it's at least still, there feels like tension because there's always the threat of Francis punching him real hard and Joshua just falling over? Or is it he's wailing on him, and this is strictly a test of Francis's durability. That is why this is going. I mean, if he gets totally bulldozed in that regard, maybe he does come back to MMA first just to get a win. Because at some point also, like, I know that this is not top of the list of things, but at some point, remembering how to win is pretty important in sort of all sports. And so even though you're not doing your primary sport, right, if you're Francis Ngannou, the last couple of years, you have not won. Like, you have won morally, you have won monetarily, you have won in the eyes of the public, but you have not actually had a victory party that was full tilt, no doubt about it. I am the victor this evening. And that matters. Like, that is a thing that builds in the psyche even slowly. And so maybe it is just I'm going to go back and I'll fight Henan Fajeda. I said I would do it. Now I fulfilled my obligation. Nobody can kind of talk shit in this regard. I'm going to kill that man. Honestly, I'm into it. Like, it's nobody's idea of like a perfect fight, but it's two kaijus throwing punches at each other. Like, sign me the hell up. That's functionally how they are billing this fight with Joshua, is that it's King Kong versus Godzilla. Do the same thing in the PFL Smart Cage. It'll be awesome. Get us all sorts of metrics on how hard they punch and stuff like that. It'll be great. So maybe if he gets like totally run over, he goes that just to get a win, just to kind of get back into that while Fury settles up with Usyk. And if he beats Usyk, then ostensibly Joshua. But if he doesn't, like if he does, if he just gets 9-1 and it's kind of listless and boring, he's probably boxing again because there are avenues there for him. Like, before all said and done, we're going to get him fighting Deontay Wilder. That's just a thing that's going to happen. And we're going to get a Tyson Fury rematch. So at the minimum, he's got two more boxing matches after this.
All right. Well, let's go to our friends at DraftKings, because we could talk about this. We could talk about all the different storylines. I talked about this fight with Fury a whole bunch, and I was wrong about like literally everything I said. So we're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out tomorrow. But right now, Anthony Joshua, -340 favorite. The comeback of Francis Ngannou, +260. Jed, you host a gambling show. Do you have bets on this?
Is that serious? Is that where the line is at now?
Yes, -340 for Joshua, +260 for Francis Ngannou. Do you have a bet on this fight, and what is your official prediction?
I'm going to put an unreasonable amount of money on Anthony Joshua if this number stays here. That's so bad. Why is it that cheap? I have a bet down. I doubled up this week on Joshua by decision, which that price has actually dropped a little bit. I got it at +400 on DraftKings. Right now it's +380. I think that this fight looks probably 8-2, maybe 7-3. Joshua is just going to dance around and jab him a bunch. I doubt we'll see a ton of right hands thrown from Joshua. He's just going to stick and move. He is just going to put a volume on him. Francis is super durable. He'll be there the whole time. Maybe he gets a flash. Here's the thing. We saw it with Tyson, like against Tyson Fury. He got the knockdown. He lost the fight. There's a world where Francis does find a way to get the right hand in. There's not really a world where he's going to land a right hand like he did on Alistair Overeem. Like, there's not going to be that, like, Tekken Mortal Kombat uppercut, because that's not really how boxing works ever, and particularly not when you are overmatched against boxing. He might land a right hand, and he might take the equilibrium away and hurt Anthony Joshua. Like, that's a thing that can happen. I also just – even if he does, Joshua's going to get 10 seconds to recover – and then he's going to hold and grip and use his cage savvy. And I just don't think Francis can even get him out of there that way. So this feels very like he's got to one-shot him dead, and it seems really unlikely that it happens. And I don't think Joshua's going to even allow it to. So I love the +400 by decision bet I have on Anthony Joshua. But Joshua -340 is – that feels like a gift.
Fair. I have two bets on this fight. For those who listen to any time I do these boxing preview shows that involves a boxer and an MMA fighter, I think you know one of those bets is going to be. I'll reveal that in a moment. But look, man, this is the Charles Oliveira bet for me. I'm done betting against Francis Ngannou. I'm done picking against him. I'm done doubting him in any way, shape, or form. So because of that, even though my confidence levels aren't there, I have a bet on Francis Ngannou +260. I don't even think there's a ton of value on it. Like, there should be more value on Francis. He should be a +400 or something of that nature. So
it's not a good price.
Yeah. Francis by knockout is like +330 the last I checked. So yeah, like, I'm just gonna take the money line shot on Ngannou +260, even though I don't know how it's gonna happen. The other one I'm taking is one I always take on these fights. Fight goes to a draw, +1600. I'm throwing that out there as well. Small
plus 1800 now.
Ah, damn it. I should have waited, but I got it yesterday at +1600. So I took a small shot on that, but like, it's going to be, I don't know what's going to happen. That's kind of what makes this fight so interesting. It could be really fun. We could get knockdowns galore, or it could be just not fun to watch at all, which could very well happen, where Ngannou like lands a clean shot in round one, and then it's just not all that entertaining, and Joshua just kind of outboxes him. But I don't know.
It'll be fun regardless, because I do think that there will be the narrative is strong enough that there will at least be tension the whole way through of, okay, I don't think Joshua's going to just like totally embarrass him in there, style on him. And there will always be the threat that, all right, Francis is getting closer with that right hand or whatever. So I think it'll at least, there will be drama, even if it ends up being like 9-1, you know?
Yeah, that, you make a good point there. Co-main event is Zhaili Zhang versus Joseph Parker. Good fight. That's a lot fun. Of people really like that one. Zhang a minus 230 favorite. Joseph Parker plus 180 dog. I also have a bet on that fight as well. I have Zhang by KO. I got it at, what did I get it at? KO TKO minus 115 is where I got it. So not a ton of juice, but it's better than minus 230.
It's a fun fight.
Yeah, and I think if he wins, he's stopping him. So
seems highly likely.
Yeah, and it's not gonna be a bad card. It's not gonna be a bad card, and you can watch whatever's left of the co-main event and the in-main event with GC and I on the watch party. We're doing back-to-back watch parties, 4 p.m. Eastern. We're gonna kick off tomorrow for Joshua versus Ngannou. We get some special guests lined up for this as well, and more to come. It's just gonna be like a party. People are just gonna be popping in and out. It's going to be a good time. So join us at 4 p.m. Eastern. Okay.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools. I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
Let's go to the peeps for about 10 or 15 minutes, like I said earlier. We're going to give a full reaction to the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson news.
What?
Right off the bat on BTL.
That's when I woke up and checked Slack this morning, that was not what I was anticipating seeing.
Yeah. So that's the first thing we're going to react to when we get to BTL. So let's answer some questions. Of course, as you know, super chatters, you get to go through the velvet rope first. And some people, heck of a morning yesterday, somebody called and said, you should stop the super chat because you're rich, heck.
And so rich. I don't know.
I'm still waiting for these riches to come into my life, but it hasn't happened yet. Bro,
how do you think the rich stay rich? It's not by getting rid of their super chats. Come on.
No. I mean, feed me more. Feed me more. Let's go. But no. Let's see.
Think these lattes pay for themselves? Come on.
You think this Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee right here? Come on. Thank you all very much. Ooh, I get one of these every day.
Think of Mr. Sure. Fancy gets a large. Wow.
That is a medium.
Isn't it called a venti? Okay. Oh, no, it's Duncan, so it's just called large.
Yeah, these are medium. This is medium. Mediums are only $2 this month, so that's why I'm sticking with the medium. Oh, wow.
That's how you stay rich.
You stay rich. That's how you stay rich. You cut $1.60 off the tab every day.
All righty. First question's for a little off topic, but I think it's important. It's for Jed.
Jed, what's in that hair? Mousse, dry shampoo? How do you get that follicular flow?
Well, the answer is, since we're a little early to my work today, since I don't technically get on the clock for three more minutes, I just hopped out of the shower right after this. So the answer is water. There is water in my hair right now.
There you go.
Very, very pro wrestling. I like it.
I don't get that question, Lazy Bed.
Yeah.
Come you on. Don't.
Rude. Rude. All right. I don't really, is there a comment? I'll just let you guys.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Funny, it took an MMA fighter for the boxing world to realize the very best guys in the sport should be fighting each other instead of tomato cans stacking records.
Disagree.
Yeah. Isn't this fight a tomato can fight?
It's absolutely it. This is not the very best guys in the sport. This is I gotta tell you.
We're talking about tomato can fight right now.
This is one fighter
yeah.
taking on Anthony Joshua. This has been a really – it's a real weird thing that people have adopted. I mean, it's sort of kind of always been there and is an undercurrent, but it feels like the last, like, 5 years, probably because Dana has pushed this issue a ton, is – like, oh, it's terrible. Like, the boxing method is terrible. No, it's not. The bad part about boxing is when the best don't ever fight the best. When you get Pacquiao versus Mayweather 4 years after its prime. Also happens in MMA, i.e. Chuck Liddell versus Wanderlei Silva. It's still cool when it happens, but, like, you'd rather it happen. The other parts of boxing make a ton more sense and are great because here's the thing. MMA is just boxing, but it's younger. And everyone wants to be like, oh, that's – yeah, younger is better. No, it just means you don't know shit. Like, you grow up and you got told a bunch of stuff by your parents and you're like, you're old and that's nonsense. And then you turn 30 and you're like, actually, yes, going to bed at a reasonable hour is better. Nothing good does happen after 2 a.m. in the morning. Like, it's just – MMA is going to get there. We're in 20 years going to figure out, hey, instead of having this great commodity, this wonderful fighter who's popular and running him into a wood chipper every 3 months, what if we don't do that? And he goes into a wood chipper and then he fights some dude he's going to murder and he's going to look awesome against and people are going to be excited about. And we do that again. And then he takes another wood chipper a year later. It's just a better way of doing business. It prolongs the careers and the star power of your stars. You don't want it to come at expense of these big, awesome fights. But, like, yeah, to me, it's always been insane to be like, the best should fight the best at all points in time. This isn't the NFL. F that.
I think it's funny too, but the best fighting the best. We literally are not getting Jones and Ngannou because of what we're of this preview show right now. It's just like, what are you talking about?
We lose a ton of the biggest MMA fights of all time.
We just act like we don't.
Yeah, we get the worst parts of boxing in MMA, but we don't get the, like, wouldn't it have been way cooler if instead of Tony Ferguson losing seven in a row to increasingly worse competition, just after the Gaethje fight, they rolled him in there against some absolute bozo who he could nuke. And we're like, hell yeah, he's back, baby. It'd be so much cooler.
This is true. All right. Thank you for the comment, though, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, look at Bilal Muhammad right now. He's clearly, like, the guy who deserves to fight for the title. And if I have this weird feeling that a Michael Venom Page goes out there and beats Kevin Holland on
Saturday. He's getting a title shot.
He's getting a title shot. He's going to leap Bilal. It's crazy.
Connor disagreed with me on No Best Bar this week. I was like, I think you're insane, man. Like, 100%. They clearly do not want Bilal to fight for the title, as they offered Leon three people that weren't him to fight. And, like, you could say that it's just the 300 thing. No, they are not invested in Bilal. And if MVP looks good, like, if he puts up a highlight, I don't even think it's a question. They're going to England and that fight's going with them.
Yep. All right. Why is heavyweight boxing so much more interesting than heavyweight MMA?
There are a couple of good answers to this question, but I've been talking a lot. Mike, do you have an answer before I give mine?
Stars. I mean, that's part of it. You get stars that build up, and they're like, heavyweight boxing is a volcano that's just waiting to erupt. If it's all about the right time. Like, we've been waiting for Fury Usyk for so long. We've been waiting for Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder and these guys to fight forever. And, like, they're still in there. It just, the timing of all this stuff is just perfect. And there are often times when there's one heavyweight boxer, and this happened probably after the Tyson, Lewis, Holyfield era, where
the entire Klitschko era.
Yeah, the Klitschko era, where it's just like, okay, we already know what's going to happen. We don't need to buy this pay-per-view. And then all of a sudden,
it was awful.
Like,
it's the worst kind of boxing.
It just comes in stages. It just comes in stages. And even for a time, the UFC was like that. And look at how the UFC is divisionally. Light heavyweight was their marquee division forever. The Chucks, the Titos, all that. And now, like, look at light heavyweight. It's not
main
great.
Main event in UFC 300.
Yeah, but it's still not great as a division. There's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot to be, like, super-duper excited about. It just comes in waves and flows. Now, 2 years from now, we might be – this question might be reversed. Why is heavyweight MMA more interesting than heavyweight boxing? Once Fury leaves the sport for good and all these, like, big hitters and these big names – go off and ride off into the sunset, like, who is this next wave of talent, and are they going to be as big as stars as Fury, Joshua, Wilder, etc.? So I guess the best answer is it comes in waves, and right now the wave is the heavyweight boxers are riding that wave for sure. Like Kelly Slater right now, they're just flying through, looking angelic, making lots of money. That's what it is. And heavyweight MMA is, we have John Jones as a champion who's not going to fight anytime soon. We have Tom Aspinall, the interim champ, who kind of feels like he's the real champ, but no other huge stars. So, yeah, comes in waves.
Best fight, the best. I would say that
there are two answers building off of that for me. And the first is that cruiserweight's like a fake boxing division. Like, it exists, but there's not like a ton of people caring about it, and so you get just all sorts of people competing at boxing in their weights. Like, dudes could weigh like 180 and just be like heavyweighting, which is just a more dynamic weight class in that regard, because the best athlete, if you are athletic and large, you are doing other sports that aren't combat, like 9 times out of 10. That has always been the biggest thing with MMA. And in general, in the past few years, boxing, old heavyweight boxing is awesome. Like, because they were the best fighters in the world, because they were the by far the best paid athletes. And so there wasn't like, I'm going to go to the NFL, because it's like, no, I'm going to try and punch people because I'm large. And this is the best way to monetize that. And building off that, still true today. If you are large and athletic, you can make a lot more money taking less brain damage in other areas. That being said, if you are large and athletic, but not athletic enough to make it in the NFL, you can go to boxing instead of MMA, because you will make more money in boxing than you will in MMA. Heavyweight has always been the marquee division in boxing. The title of baddest man on the planet carries with it some cachet. And so you – like if I walked around at 230 and was 6'4 or whatever, and I was starting my athletic journey, I was like, I'm not coordinated enough to play football. I would go box. That would be a much better use of my time and energy.
Is the obsession, is it, it's kind of adding my own opinion, but Dana and UFC's obsession of heavyweight MMA headlining cards, are they chasing that heavyweight boxing cachet? Yes. Okay. Yes. That's why Rozenstruik has like 30 main events, just because he's a heavyweight, because we want to be heavyweight boxing.
I think that, yes. So it's twofold, but it's tied into the same thing. I do think that they are intrinsically chasing that. And I also think there is just sort of a subconscious appeal to bigger dudes doing things, like at a very visceral level. Like, you and I love flyweights. They are terrific, but like, it's just, oh, look at the big man move, is way cooler than look at the small man move. So we are drawn to that naturally.
But it's weird too. But in the UFC, when the biggest fights, the biggest pay-per-view moneymakers weren't heavyweights. There were smaller guys, lightweights.
Yeah. Stardom transcends size.
That's what I mean. Like, it kind of, their own numbers disprove what they kind of want to make themselves believe. Like, heavyweights have to sell. Like, they just sell.
I do think that heavyweights are easier to sell than anything else, and the UFC is at its core lazy.
Yeah. Ah, there we go.
They are just lazy.
We got there.
There it is. That's it. That's it.
All right.
I'll take a couple more.
We got a super chat.
Yeah. I see this one. It's a good
Superman too. Lazy Bed.
It's a good one.
Lazy Bed, you're in charge of directing Ngannou's walkout Saturday. What song do you have him come out to? What's the theme of his ring gear?
That's a really good question.
I would say Francis should do what Jairzinho did on Saturday with the walkout, where some song that slaps a bit, but you don't really know what it is, and then you find out that it features the actual fighter himself. So Francis should be walking out to a song that features his lyrics, him rapping or him singing, a Fumbling the Bag remix of some kind. That's what I would do.
This is cheating because Garrett Trammell has commented this, and he just nailed it. Like, I was going to go a different direction. Garrett, hats off to you. It's Africa by Toto.
Oh,
I mean, that's just it. That's the answer. I'm accepting no other answers for that. One, the song's a banger. Everyone in the crowd, I assume, even in Riyadh, people love Toto. Oh, because
the OG,
like, feels like everyone has to. Yeah. Oh, for sure. So it just feels like everyone would be banging anyway for this. And then ties in with Francis, you know, some traditional Cameroonian garb. Just to really sell it. Like, this is it. Garrett, this is, take my job, Garrett. You nailed it. I wasn't going to go here. It was a great answer.
Africa might be the last song I would want him to walk out to, but it's.
No,
it's,
hell yeah. That song slaps, Casey. Come on.
It's by Toto. Yeah, you know what? Okay, read the lyrics. The lyrics are kind of weird.
Yeah, it's fine. Minute Work is the most like generic Aussie thing ever, but when Volk does it,
at least it's by Australians.
It's just, yeah, it's just gonna go though. It's just gonna go.
Now you do the tunnel walk to some, I guess, some more of a traditional Cameroonian song. You know, we'll let Francis pick that out. But as soon as he enters the big arena, yeah, it switches and it becomes "Give Me the Loot" by Biggie.
The crowd is not gonna be hype for a traditional Cameroonian song. This is about getting the people going, Casey.
Give me the loot.
I'm not about to pull up the lyrics to Africa by Toto.
Oh, God.
Are they're... Yeah. Moving on. Thank you, Lazy Bed. Thank you. Take a couple more.
You should come out to, like, Peaches by President of the United States of America. That'd be hilarious. Just out of nowhere. Most random song of all time.
That would be funny.
Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches.
Move or like some like Crash Test Dummies. To, I'm not just. I mean,
oh, now Canadian, we're gonna go down a road.
Some Canadian '90s rock, you know, I guess. All right, so another super chat here.
Chase Turner, thank you. Huge Bilal hater here. Am I the only one who finds it hilarious he can't get a title shot?
No, you're not.
Dude, people hate Bilal so much. You paid $5 to tell us how much you hate Bilal. I love that. This sport is amazing.
So wild.
This guy clearly deserves the title shot, but here's $5. Funny. God bless you.
It's crazy.
It's deeply amusing to me. I found it quite funny when Leon couldn't get a title shot. Despite like thinking Leon deserved the title shot, I found it funny the whole time, and I find it funny with Bilal as well.
He shouldn't have lost
his name. Could get one. Be interesting. Be interesting, man. This isn't a meritocracy. It's never been one. Be interesting.
Just timing. Yep. Wait, I mean, Leon got it. It never had to be interesting. Yeah,
I think Bilal will get one eventually because there's been a long lineage of welterweights who aren't interested in getting title fights. They just have to wait forever for it.
Yeah. I kind of feel like Bilal is the track right now. Like, I kind of feel like in the matchmaking room, it's like Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad for that June card, and which is, I believe, is going to be in Newark at this point. Bilal fought in Newark against Gilbert Burns in his last fight. Won. They hated him. Leon will probably look like a hero there. You can throw Leon in Newark. Who gives a shit? I think it's Bilal, fine.
Bilal is either going to sneak his way into a title fight, or maybe he fights MVP if MVP wins, but it's not like exciting.
Yeah. Or they make him fight Shavkat instead, and MVP gets the title. I mean,
Shavkat actually deserves title fight. So I would be much more upset if they made Shavkat fight again, and then if they make Bilal fight again.
Oh my gosh.
18 up, 18 down, baby. Like, that deserves it. Give it to the man.
Look, this goes back, like, I have a lot of takes that don't age gracefully. I just say a bunch of shit. That's the Boston in me. But I think the take that has aged the best is Bilal Muhammad versus Gilbert Burns for that May UFC card last year was the worst matchmaking in the history of the sport. It made literally no sense to put that fight on the card. It didn't draw one pay-per-view. It didn't sell one ticket. It did nothing. And now Bilal Muhammad, after being told whoever wins this fight is guaranteed to get a title shot, has been sitting around for almost a year trying to will himself into a title fight. He has crossed over and leaped over so many hurdles. Every break he's needed has landed for him. And now he might not fight for the belt again after all this, after sitting out almost a year and taking a fight that did nothing for that card at all. Nothing. It's so silly. So silly. Made no sense. Hated that matchmaking. Not the fight. I think the fight was like the actual fight to make, but golly. I heard consider the name Bilal Muhammad on the Ringer podcast is the best nickname ever.
Yeah. No, the best MMA nickname. It's a really good one. That feels like a pizzy one to me. Shouts. The best MMA nickname ever is Tyrone the Choosy One Woodley when he was dubbed that by fans after he won the belt. That was just some A-plus work. But consider the name is very good.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's Pete for sure.
Yeah, it feels like Pete is real good.
Super check referring going back to walkout songs.
Tupac hit him up.
That's just a good song.
Is it Joe or Joey?
Joey.
Joey. Yeah. Like you're falling down a cliff.
Yeah, that's a good one though. Hit him up, slaps.
I mean, it's kind of a classic. It's a go-to. Yeah.
All right. What would be your walkout song if you were walking out to a fist fight? I mean, Casey, I don't remember what you walked out to.
I walked out to this band, a Boston band called Converge, and their song was called Dark Horse. It's very Swedish thrash metal, but okay. It's kind of a song I always wanted to walk out to. But I don't think it'll be my next if I fought again. I don't know if it'd be the next one, but that's what I walked out.
Bro, you got to build the brand. Converge. You got to hit the same one every time to build the brand.
Well, it was Converge's Dark Horse. That was mine. Okay.
Mike, what would you do?
The Have Nots by House of Pain.
Okay.
Going deep cut House of Pain?
I don't think it was a big hit for them. I always loved the song.
I've heard it, so it's not a hit.
Oh, it's dude. You're gonna want to fight people after you hear that song. It just builds up, and then it's like it just crushes you in the best possible way. But I knew I was onto something because I used to watch ECW all the time when it was on Friday nights on like random channels, and they would always do like promos selling T-shirts or like promoting a big match at the ECW arena, and they would put that song in the background. I was like, I knew it. The song's great, but yeah, it's a good one. It builds up anticipation, and then it's just. The lyrics just make you want to go punch somebody in the face. It's a good time.
Right. The correct answer, gentlemen, is the answer I've had since I first considered this years ago. It's Twist and Shout by the Beatles.
Why?
Because the song fucking bangs. I'm sorry. Have you not seen Ferris Bueller? Because no, that's not, what it would be. As soon as that hits.
I thought that was a True Country reference. Not True Country. True Detective.
You see True Detective? No, it's not. Just... The entire arena would
this season
would break out into. I haven't watched the season. I'm just saying the entire arena
song plays like a major plot line. Yeah,
like it's the Chicago parade. We all dance, and then I go break some dude's arm and make him shout. It's perfect.
That's great. I have a buddy. He doesn't fight anymore, but he was like one of the top ranked amateur lightweights in Massachusetts for a while. Really bright future, and then decided to just. He had a family and he decided to like tour and rental houses and get into real estate and that stuff. He used to come out to I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. And he was always the second person out. So the first person would walk out to this like thrasher song and like getting all jacked up. And then like, I want to dance and somebody would crank on the loudspeakers. You could immediately see even like the people that would buy tickets to watch their buddy fight, who he was fighting. We're all singing the song. They're all dancing, having a good time. And you could just see almost every time he fought, the soul of his opponent leaving his body as that song came out. Like, how could you get motivated listening to I Want to Dance with Somebody, especially when your own people are singing and dancing to your opponent's song? It just crushed people before the fight even started. It was great. And he won most of his fights.
I could be deeply motivated because that song is – I legitimately think that's one of the five best songs ever made. Like, just – It's an absolutely perfect song, and I would you couldn't walk out to that, because if I'm staring opposite you, the cage, I'm now going to beat your ass because I am pumped up too.
Yeah. So he would walk out to that. I had another buddy who walked out to Good Vibration by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And that was always a good time too.
If I ever get married, legitimately, the only request I would make of my wife is that our first dance is to I Want to Dance with Somebody. That is actually the only thing I would care about at all at the wedding.
Yeah. Any good wedding DJ would play that at any wedding anyways.
I don't want everyone else to. I want a full choreographed ballroom number of me just ripping it to Whitney out there with my wife and making everyone watch.
I mean, you could just do that anyways by yourself and make everybody watch it.
When I'm at weddings, people do tend to – I tend to take a lot of space on the dance floor.
Fair. Okay. I bet Akie Lee comes out to the happy birthday song.
Nice Trinidaddy.
Beatles one or the actual song?
The actual.
Oh, okay. Beatles one's better. Say it's your birthday.
Yeah. Now I've got the walkout song thing. Okay, I gotta move on. I'm thinking walkout songs too much.
All right, we'll take one more and then we gotta go.
All right, one more.
We'll talk more about all of this on BTL in like an hour. So,
all right.
I hope the entire episode of BTL is walkout songs. Dude, Mother by Danzig. That makes me want to fight people.
That's
Mother?
A good one,
dude.
Yeah.
Me and the wife, Esther, we recently got a home karaoke machine because we're Asians, and we sing Mother, and dude, fuck, it rules.
Great song.
Oh,
my go-to karaoke song is Rainbow in the Dark by Dio.
Ooh. Hell yeah. Okay, now we're talking. Now we're cooking.
Dude, that's a tough song to sing.
Yeah.
It's a real tough song to sing. Yeah, there's a place in Atlanta called Dark Horse that does like live band karaoke, and it's banger.
Oh, dude, I gotta see this. I gotta see if your voice can get that high. That's a tough song to sing.
We do our best. It's really just about the effort.
It's the energy. You don't gotta hit the note. You just gotta hit the energy.
It's just, look, none of us are Dio anyway, so it's fine. And I have a firm belief that I was supposed to be the front man for an arena rock band, but I don't have any talent at singing. And so that really, I have no musical ability whatsoever. And so that really butchered what I'm supposed to be doing with my life.
Yeah.
God, I got to get to Atlanta and have karaoke night with Jed.
Come to Gardena, California. We have karaoke night here every night.
Dude, I'll do it.
Do you have a live band though, Casey? That's critical. Also, you can just do like rock band, which is also just karaoke.
Last one.
All right. Elizabeth, MMA fighting. Supposing Francis wins, does he wait for Usyk Fury to potentially fight twice or Chase Wilder? Kind of think he's going to get the winner. Well, yeah. Is that how it's going to work? There is an automatic, immediate rematch.
I believe there is a rematch clause, so I'm not 100% on that.
That he waits. If he wins, he waits.
There's zero chance he's taking any other fight if he wins this fight.
Yeah.
Why? It would be actual malpractice to do so. Like, you have established yourself as a semi-legitimate, if not fully legitimate, contender for the actual
undisputed title, contender for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. He ain't fighting Bennett Ferreira or anybody else.
There's no reason to accept a fight unless Turkey is like, here's $1 billion with a B to fight someone else. They're like, My price tag, if I'm Francis in this situation, is $400 million and not a, literally not a penny less than that to take another fight.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm sure Markel, Markel Martin's in the same boat. $400 million.
If he wins this, no chance. And like, it's not nine figures, like mid to high nine figures is the requirement to get me to fight again outside of an undisputed title shot.
This is like my favorite preview show ever. We're just throwing out numbers, walkout songs, karaoke jams. I mean, this just had it all. This just had it all. We got BTL coming up 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. We're going to talk a lot about UFC 299. So, and then the final round, if it gets that far, it doesn't really happen. Usually the show ends in regulation. It's pretty boring how that always works. But if we get to the final round, it's going to be your round. We'll do a little rapid fire super chat Q&A.
It better be about karaoke songs, boys.
Yeah. That might be part of it.
Karaoke.
I have multiple playlists. I have karaoke playlists. I'm just telling you. This is open.
I only want to be involved in the Dio stuff.
Yeah.
I can rock Holy Diver. Holy Diver.
That was, you know, Andrea Lee when she was in Evicta. That's what she walked out to.
It's a good song.
I don't think I remember that. I
was there. I'm just saying it. But I was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah. Holy Diver is probably a better song than Rainbow in the Dark, but Rainbow in the Dark is just the peaks, man.
When you have synthesizers and electric guitars going side by side, I mean, it's just in a high-pitched voice that is just strong. Can't beat it. Yeah. Can't beat it.
Here's my walkout jam.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the cage from Inglewood, California, Mr. 3024, Eugene Casey Leiden. Look at this. Look at this guy.
Kill him, put him in a body bag.
All right,
twist
everybody.
Twist the dick.
12:30 BTL. We'll have preview show.
It's in an hour.
Weigh-ins, 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow for 299. Preview show for UFC 299 pretty much right after that. So who the hell knows? We'll have the watch party tomorrow, 4 p.m. for Ngannou Joshua. And then Saturday is just going to be a whole can of worms. So thank you very much. Buckle up. Lots of content coming your way. For Casey, for Jedi, Mike Peck. Thanks for watching. Peace out.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.